Today I'm going to talk to you about hearing the Father. And I want to share a couple of things before I get into that. In January of this year, the Lord gave me a word. Now, it's been my habit for many years to go before the Lord in January 1st, because first of all, it's my birthday. I don't even get to have a few days in the new year before I get older. So, yeah. So I always go before him, and I said, Lord, what is it that you want to show me for this year? And what he gave me this year was the word awake. And the word awake is something, you know, we have been praying for that in our prayer groups on Wednesdays. We've been praying that God would awake us to the things that are important to him, the things that he values. So, you know, I said, okay, and I've been praying, Lord, awake my children, awake Walton, awake the schools. You know, I've just been putting that out there because we all want to be awake to God, right? We all want to hear him. So the scripture that he gave me at the beginning of the year was Ephesians 5:14, and it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you and give you light. Okay? So we need to awake to God so that we can be lights out there, right? And lights in our own families. All right, so here's a couple of highlights that happened to me this year. The second thing that I was really moved by was the Asbury Revival, and that was back in April. I got on YouTube and I watched what was going on at that college, and I said, wow, I want it. Give it to me, Lord. I want the fire. I just want to feel your presence and be powerful like Jesus, right? So as I was watching the Asbury Revivals and just in awe of how many young people were coming to the Lord and what God was doing, he was pouring out his spirit in this college, and people were coming from all over the world. Wouldn't it be amazing if people were coming from every neighborhood in this community here, right? I mean, that is my prayer. I'm sure it's your prayer too, that he would do that. So while I was watching, there was a young man that got up one night and he started talking about how this all happened during a prayer time. Some young people in this college were coming together and praying for God to move. And guess what? God showed up. Isn't that something? And here's what happened. All of a sudden, revival broke out. And people were coming from everywhere, all over the world. Our bishop went, him and his wife went to the Asbury Revival. And, you know, they shared at the conference what a wonderful thing this was to see all of these young people touched by the Spirit of God. It was amazing. And so the second thing that happened to me that really impacted my life this year was when I went to the annual conference. If you haven't experienced it, you are missing out. It is wonderful. When you see people from our denomination, from all different churches around in our district area, come together to worship the Lord and to praise him. It's amazing. And so, you know, the year started out with awakening and God saying to me, I want you to hear me. Listen. When I got to the conference, our bishop said, it's important we hear the Lord. It's so important that we spend time with him in prayer and hear him and listen to what he has to say to us as a church, individually too, but as a church. Where is he going to take us next, right? So at the conference, there was a class on prayer. They have different workshops when you go to the conference. And there was a class on prayer. So that was, I didn't have to look further. I just circled that. I'm going there. So I went to this class on prayer, and it was praying the Lord's Prayer. And it was amazing. You know, when God is doing something and he's speaking something to you, you are not going to forget it. It's going to sit in you and it's going to keep going around and around and around inside of your spirit because he's trying to show you something, right? And so when I went to the conference and I went to this prayer class, it was about the Lord's Prayer, and it was set up like a house, you know? And I thought, gee, I've never heard the Lord's Prayer be a house. And the first part was you see this house, and there's a porch in front of the house, and you go up the steps to the porch, and then you enter into the house. So Jesus said, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. So in order for us to know what God wants to do, we have to enter into the door, right? We have to know what he's up to. Don't you want to know what God's up to? Oh, I love when he tells me what he's up to. You know, it's so exciting because it's always so good. Okay, so today I'm not going to do the whole, because I'm going to do a class on this workshop that I took at the conference, one of these, within the next year sometime. But the first thing that I wanted us to talk about today is what he said was first, our Father. Our Father. We have a Father, right? Our Father is God. And we're going to look at the story of the prodigal son, but not so much the prodigal son, but the father of the prodigal son today. And so in Luke chapter 15, if you have your Bibles with you, you can open it to that. And Luke chapter 15 starts out with the lost sheep. Those of you who know that story knows that there was 100 sheep, and one disappeared, one got lost. So the shepherd left the 99 and went after the one, right? And when he found it, he had a great celebration. He celebrated. In verse 7, it says, I tell you, in the same way that there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repentance. Do you know when you came to Jesus, they had a party in heaven? God celebrated you. Isn't that something? So here in my mind, this is my visual. People are coming to Jesus every day, so heaven is a total party time every time, every day, right? Because they're celebrating those that are coming to heaven, right? Then there's the story of the woman that had the lost coin, and she searched her whole house, turned everything upside down to find this lost coin. And when she found it, it says she rejoiced because she found the coin. And in the same way, it says in verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, okay? The angels celebrate. God is celebrating. You know, I just love that. I love to think that there is such joy in heaven when somebody says yes to Jesus. Isn't that amazing, you know? You know why? Because, you know, God values what he has created. Do you know you're valued? We're all valued by him. He values us beyond what we can ever even imagine. It's so important. We are so important to him, you know? So as we go a little bit further and we get to the part about the prodigal son in verse 11 of chapter 15, it says, then there was a certain man who had two sons. The younger of them inappropriately said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. So he divided the estate between them. Okay, so first of all, you didn't do that. That wasn't something you did. You did not go ask your father for your part of the estate before the father was dead. Then the properties were divided, and you got what was yours, and your brother got what was his. But this son decided he didn't want to wait. He wanted it now. So it says that this young son gathered together everything that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he wasted his fortune in reckless and immoral living. Wow. So, you know, he was the big shot. I have all the money. I can have parties every day. I could provide all these good things I can make new friends because I have lots of money. Okay? And he wasted his money. And then something happened. He spent everything. And then a severe famine hit. Whoa. And he began to know that he was without, and he had nothing. He was in need because he had spent all his money foolishly. And then a famine hit. Are we ready for what's going to hit next? Are we? We don't know. I mean, I don't know about you, but those of you that are hearing God are hearing, okay, get ready, stand firm. Trust me, walk with me. Right? And so his situation became so severe that he ended up living in a pig's pen, literally. There was no food for him. And people who he had maybe had friends, people who were his friends when he had money, decided, well, you don't have any money anymore, so you're not my friend anymore. Don't want you. So he ended up in the fields to feed the pigs, and there was only the pods that the pigs ate that he could eat. He was in a hard place. Have you ever been in a hard place? Have you ever been in a place that sometimes you think there's nowhere to go? Right? But God, he's the one. See, this young man had become a slave to sin. He had walked away from his father's house and all the blessings that were part of his father's house, and he became a slave to sin. And you know something? The end to sin is destruction. When you look at this young man's life, you could see that he was brought to a place of destruction where he had no hope, right? But something happened. He had an awakening. And in verse 17, it says, but when he finally came to his senses, this is his awakening moment, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough food while I am dying here of hunger? He said, I'm going to get up and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. He realized here that he was under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and God, and the Holy Spirit was saying to him, you need to get back to your father. Do you know people in our world need to get back to the Father, right? Need to get back to the Father. So he got up, and he was going to say to his father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. Just treat me like one of your hired servants. At least I know they have a place to sleep and food to eat, okay? And so he starts on his journey back to the Father, and while he's still far away, now I want you to hear that this is God's heart, okay? This is God's heart to us today. While he was still far away and still a long way off, his father saw him. Wow. You know, he probably only saw his shadow, but he knew it was his son. You know, God knows us. He knows we are his children. He sees, even though we're far away from him at times, he sees us. And here's what he said. And the father saw him and was moved with compassion for him. Wow. Are we moved with compassion like the father when we see our loved ones not walking with the Lord? Do we put our arms, reach our arms out to them and embrace them? It says he ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now you got to look at this son. What did he look like? Well, I'm sure he had raggedy clothes on. He had no shoes on his feet. He was dirty. He probably smelled like the pig pen, right? Wouldn't you think? Or you think he got all spiffied up and showered before he went to his father's house? I don't think so. God awakened him and he left. He went to go to see the father. And he told his father that he had sinned against heaven and against him. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Wow. But you know, the father looked at him and he said, bring me the finest robe, the best robe, the kind of robe you'd put on a guest that comes to your house, and give him a ring and put sandals on his feet. Do you know what he did? He covered him. He covered him. You know, when I read that, and I thought about, here is this father putting this luscious, gorgeous robe on this dirty child coming home, you know? And I remembered how God covered Adam and Eve after they had sinned with the skins of the animals, right? He killed an animal and he covered their bodies. He covered their nakedness. This father covered his son with the robe. And then he said, bring the fatted calf and slaughter it, and let us invite everyone and feast and celebrate. Celebration for those that are lost. You know, I hope when people come into this church, when God opens those windows of heaven out there and pours out his spirit and brings them in here, we are going to celebrate. Because he said, my son was dead, he's now alive. The Bible talks about that when we come to Jesus, he puts on us a robe of righteousness. You heard that? He puts a robe of righteousness on us. And when we have that robe of righteousness on us, he can't see that dirt that was in us anymore because he has covered us, right? Awesome. The father didn't go to his son and say, oh, you did this. He didn't do that. He embraced him. This is the heart of our God. Do you know how good he is? Oh. You know, when I first was asked to do this today, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he goes, just talk about me, you know. I can do that, you know. But he also took me on this journey where he started to just show me things about the Father, you know. One thing, I felt like I was in a movie theater. It was a boom, bing, 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 going on and on and on, just moving, you know. It was just so amazing. And, you know, I thought to myself, what is he like, our Father in heaven? Well, first of all, let me tell you what he'll never do, okay? First of all, he will never let us escape from his loving care. He will never let us escape from his compassion, from his patience, from his quickness to forgive. What do you think of this Father we have? Isn't he awesome? He is, yeah. Sometimes, you know, we make decisions that are not of God. Like this young man did. He said, I'm going. Bye. Give me my money. I'm off. God lets us do that sometimes. He lets us leave and walk out of his perfect will for our lives. But, you know, the glory of this story is that he did not get lost. He came home. Got anybody in your family that you want to come home to the Father today? You know, the Father, and here's another one. You know, his companionship with us is 24/7 in my life, in our day, 24/7. Have you ever known a time when you can't call on God? Never. Sometimes I don't answer my phone because I don't want to pick it up, you know? Right? Or somebody sends you a text, oh, no, 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 nothing, you know. But not God. 24/7, he is. His character is pure, it's holy, it's flawless, it's loving, it's compassionate, it's righteous, it's just, merciful, kind, long-suffering, honest, truthful, dependable, faithful and understanding, and unlimited in power. So, because he is all of this to us, why would we not want to seek him, right? You know, one of the greatest visuals that I have when I talk about Jesus dying and being resurrected was when the curtain was torn in the temple. You know, that was so important because that gave us access to the Father, right? Before that, no, you and I would not have been able to go into the presence of God before Jesus. If you did, you'd probably die. Couldn't do it, right? Because in the Old Testament, it was only the high priest, only one high priest, that could go into the presence of the Lord to ask for forgiveness for the sins of the people. But when Jesus died, that curtain was torn in half, and God opened up his doors to us so that we can have our communion with him, with his presence. That just blows my mind. That I have access to the creator of the universe, to the all-knowing God. When Jesus said that, he said, my Father's house is going to be called a house of prayer. What Jesus was saying was that we have to come to the Father's house to seek him. We can do it in our everyday lives. But Jesus did this. He went after God. Okay? And he said, I didn't do anything unless I saw the Father do it. This morning, you missed a great Sunday school class this morning, guys. I was in Russell's class this morning, and his class was on prayer, and I was so blessed. I was so blessed by that. And I'm telling you, If you want more of God, you got to show up, right? I have to show up. I do. I have to show up every day to meet with him, because if I don't, I'm not going to hear what he wants to tell me that day. I'm going to miss something. Well, I don't want to miss anything. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss anything, okay? So let's look a little bit at how God speaks to us, okay? We know prayer is a key to hearing him. We have to come before him. So sometimes he speaks to us through dreams. Any of you ever have dreams? Any spiritual dreams? Yeah. How about visions? Any visions? You have visions? There you go. Okay. How about prophetic revelations? Okay. Do we really believe that he speaks to us? He does speak to us, right? See, God is looking for a people who will emerge with the perspectives of heaven. Now, we have a prayer meeting that goes on here every Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. And I know that's not a good time for some of you, okay? But let me tell you, the most important part of that meeting is what we hear from him. And then we pray for the needs that he brings our way or that people bring to us. Think about Jesus for just a minute. Now, this is something he showed me even this morning when I was standing up here, because I didn't have it in my notes, but he showed me Jesus. You know, when Jesus went to be with the Father, you know, the disciples sometimes found he disappeared into the night or early morning, and at first they didn't know where he went, but he went to be with the Father. So here's what I'm thinking when he's with the Father. The Father is saying to Jesus, you know what, son? There is a lady with an issue of blood, and she's going to touch the garment of your robe, and healing is going to go into her. And Jesus, there is a man named Zacchaeus who doesn't know you, but salvation is coming to his house because you're going there. Jesus, there is someone that needs food. I'm going to divide bread. I'm going to make you feed 5,000 people. Man, I tell you, I'd be really excited if I heard that, right? How about, you know what, today your disciples are going to be out on the lake of, on Lake Galilee, and the storm is going to hit them. Now, I want you to walk out there to them. You know, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I hear the Father say it. So I know that these are the conversations him and the Father had. You know, there's a child that has died. I want you to go raise that child from the dead, Jesus. There's someone who needs salvation. Go tell them. See, God has a plan. He always has a plan. But we don't get that plan in our busyness of running here, there, and everywhere. We have to quiet our spirit and listen to what he has to say to us. And I believe, I mean, Pastor had said 1,000 people in this church. I believe that. I could believe for 5 or more, right? How do we get them? By seeking the Lord, by praying, by listening to what he has to say to us, by hearing the instruction that he wants to give us every single day. You know what is the biggest surprise, I think, to any of us? The fact that he wants to speak to us. Doesn't that surprise you? It surprises me. Who am I? I'm a peon, you know? I mean, and yet it is so exciting to hear his voice. I believe that there is an urgent wake-up call to the church today. The church today, and I believe this, you know, when you read through the Old Testament, and we did the Bible Project Old Testament last year, one of the things that we saw when we did this class was that if people would just listen to God, they would be fine, right? Yeah. But no. No, they didn't listen. Russell was sharing this morning about how the, you know, Israelites, when they left Egypt, and they came to the place where Moses was going up to the mountain to be with God for 40 days, what did they do? They started making a golden calf to worship. Like, hello, you know? You just walked through the Red Sea, and you were just delivered from Egypt, and here you are making a calf. Well, you know, obviously Egypt wasn't out of them yet. Still in there, right? And so, you know, it's so easy to start to worship other things than God sometimes. So here's the plan, okay? When I was watching the Asbury revival, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, what you need and what we all need, the body of Christ, I'm just saying here, everywhere, okay? Everywhere where the body of Christ is. What we need is for God's people to come together in corporate prayer. We have faithful 5 or 6 people that come out on Wednesdays, and that's good. But we need to come together as a body and hear him so we can go forward, right? So I talked to Pastor Larry, because this has happened in April. He spoke this to me, and I've been like, you know, rolling it around in my heart and my spirit and my prayer time. And so, when do we do this, Lord? How do I do this? What, you know? And what he showed me was, this is not going to be, it's not going to be a prayer meeting where we bring our requests and we pray and together. This is going to be a prayer meeting where we come together to seek the Lord. And here's what we're going to seek him on. We're going to seek him on behalf of our youth, the generation that is coming after us. We're going to seek him on our country, our government, right? We're going to seek him on our schools, because we know the enemy has invaded our schools. You know, see, the enemy has, when we stop doing, it gives the enemy more territory to take over. This is a spiritual war. It is. It's a spiritual war. And we have to be serious with God and say, I'm willing to take an hour a month. And this is all I'm asking. This is what he told me. 1 hour a month, third Thursday of every month from 7 to 8 o'clock, come together corporately, okay, as a body, and pray. Pray to the Lord. Seek him. Ask him what he wants us to do. Confess our sins. Confess the sins of our nation. Daniel did that. He came before the Lord and he confessed the sins of his nation. Does our nation have sins? Wow. You know, the enemy is having a heyday, but it's time for God's army to rise up and say, enough. We're not doing this anymore. We're going to take hold of those things that the enemy has stolen from us, and we're going to move forward in him. God never intended for us to just settle in. You know that? Oh, it's okay. Who cares what they're doing out there? You know, it's the church that's going to rise up. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Does our land need healing? Absolutely. I feel like the earth is having convulsions, okay? You feel like that sometimes? Look at all the storms, all the things that are happening. The earth is having convulsions. We are to take what we hear from God and move forward. Go forward, okay? Everything that we do in our times in obedience to God matters. We are not just building for the moment, but for the future. We are building for the future of the next generation. That's why children's ministry is so important in this church. That's why youth ministry is so important, because they are the future. And if the enemy can get them, he wants to stop the church. He's never come up with any new ideas. He just wants to stop us, right? He does. But you know what? When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. He will. And we can all be part of that. Don't tell me you can't pray. Everyone can pray. You can pray silently if you can't pray out loud, right? That's another lie of the enemy. He doesn't want you to pray. He wants to defeat us in every area of our spiritual growth. That's why this year in this church, we are releasing some new studies that are going to help us to get stronger in the Lord. And I'm going to sign up. I'm going to sign up for all of them, you know, because I want to stay strong from this day forward. So Here's some of the life groups are out there now, the sign-up sheets for those of you that want to sign up for that. If you don't see a group you want to be a part of but still want to be a part of a life group, there's a sheet for those that haven't decided yet, and we'll find a group for you. You know, we'll do it. God is calling us to build his church, and he's calling us because he loves us, and there's nothing too hard for him. Just look at the way he talked to Jesus and what Jesus did. Jesus said to us, greater things will you do because I'm going to the Father and I'm sending the Holy Spirit out. You have all the empowerment. I have all the empowerment I need because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. There's nothing lacking. God doesn't give us anything lacking. So I would like you to really be in prayer. There's not going to be a sign-up sheet for September 21st. It's a Thursday night, and I would like you to be in prayer and see what the Lord says to you. If he says you come, okay, you will come into this church, you will be given a piece of paper, and it'll show the things we'll be praying for that night, and you will get before the Lord. You'll find your place in the sanctuary to get before the Lord. No one's going to call on you or ask you anything. Just give that hour to the Lord, and let's see what he does with it, okay? I'm just being obedient. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for the illustration you showed us in your word today regarding the father of the prodigal son. Oh, Lord, we all came the same way. We were stained and damaged and dirtied by the world. Our minds were full of things that had to come out because we had such a hard time trusting you. But, Lord, your arms of love reached out to us, and you never gave up. You looked for us every single day to return to you. You even sent angels, ministering angels, to draw us to the throne of grace. You gave us your Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us and to lead us. You have left nothing undone. We have everything we need in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are such a good, good Father. You are such a great and wonderful God. So today, Lord, as we enter now into our communion time, help us to remember that the reason we have access to you today and that veil has been torn is because Jesus died and was resurrected, and he conquered death and he conquered the enemy. Father, help us to be forever eternally thankful to you for all that you have done in our lives. We bless you, we worship you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.